Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio. And as you know, the theme of this show, Going Beyond Medicine, is to try to bring as many people to the listening audience as possible that are trying to make our world a better place. And I have the great privilege today to introduce Grandmother Flora de Mayo, who is a curando spiritus, who is a healer of divine spirit, and has all of her life been involved in helping us to be aware of the incredible divine spirit that we are so privileged to be a part of, and that's Mother Earth. So I would like to ask Grandmother Flora de Mayo if she would kindly begin by offering a blessing, and then we'll talk about the incredible work that she has done and continues to do. Welcome to the show, Grandmother Flora de Mayo.
Thank you so very much. I like to wish everyone in the four directions a very, very blessed moment.
Thank you.
Beloved Creator, beloved Mother, Father, Grandmothers of the four directions, Spirit of the sacred fire, Spirit of the wind, Spirit of the earth, Spirit of the all of the sacred waters, beloved Creator, we are your children, children of the four sacred elements, beloved Creator. On this sacred day, beloved, we ask of you to bless us. To bless us with the light of the sun, to bless us with the breath of the wind, to nourish us with the spirit of the water, and to allow us to walk between now and all of eternity, beloved Creator, on the blessed earth, and allowing us to also go beyond this physical earth, but to allow us to explore out into the stars, out into the universe, and to become this collective energy that we are. We are galactic and terrestrial children, children of the light. It is what we are. We are here to be the warriors of the sacred light, allowing us to pave this beautiful path of light that we have been here to be born on this particular day of such incredible, incredible challenges for us to move forward and for us to continue holding each other's hand, because one person can't do it alone. We need to come together and form a circle of light, each and every one of us in the four directions. Beloved Mother, Father, Creator of all of the beauty that is around us, I thank you at this very moment. Blessed be. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so very much for that beautiful blessing to begin this conversation. I am humbled by you. I'd like to read a beautiful quote that Grandmother Flora de Mayo had said, and it is, end quote, it has been prophesied that the women will have the power to move and to be the leaders and to bring people into the light. Thank you for sharing that, Grandmother. Can you tell us a little bit about your life, having been born one of 15 children, the youngest of 15 children in the highlands of Central America? And that from a very early age, it was known that you had the gift of sight. Can you explain that, please?
Well, the upbringing in life in Central America is very, very simple. My mom was left as a widow when I was 2 years old. And so she had to be very strong. And she raised us to be very, very strong and tough. It didn't matter our circumstances. and things that we had to do as far as survival on a regular basis. But her whole foundation was how to always be in balance on Earth, on everything that was around us, and how to allowing ourselves to plenish ourselves and to feed ourselves of all that there was on the earth. We kept little gardens for our foods. We all had our little plots and grew our little food. And my mom had a little garden of herbs. And she showed us and taught us on the best way to survive. So I come from that place of absolute survival. And everything started with a prayer. Everything started with dream interpretations. Everything started with the encouragement that we as children know through the communication in the silence of the night, in the silence of the sleep time. So whatever we received at night, we had to manifest during the day. And so there was this constant dialogue and always communication, not only between us and my mother, but of course between us and us, meaning us, the children. From very, very early age, I mean, just as I started to speak, I've communicated not only to my mother, but to my brothers and sisters on my awareness of being a physical being and also being a child of the light. I have always had one foot on the earth and one foot in the spirit world from the beginning of my life. And of course, my brothers and sisters, I cannot think of one that did not have that gift to know the physical and the invisible. So it made it into a lot of fun, and it also made it into constant dialogue. We always had questions of everything that we experienced. And so this was the beginning. My mom did mention to me at an early age that I was born to close her eyes. Of course, when you're a kid, you don't understand any of these things because my mom had a tendency to say things, but at the moment, I did not understand them. But of course, after I became older, I realized that what my mom was saying to me, that I was born with that passion of the great mystery, the passion of just being in love with all of creation. And so that when it came time for her to leave her physical body, that I would continue on this journey, that it is so close to the heart of my ancestors, the spirit of the feminine in the family, my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and so on, all of the women in my family. And so this is how she mentioned it to me. When I was 4 years old, she came to me in the middle of the night, and she said to me in Spanish, she said to me, "Daughter, awaken." And I remember opening my eyes, and she said to me, "The stork is coming." She said, "Mrs. Gonzalez is going to bring light forth." Those words were the words of initiation. What my mom was saying to me at that sweet, tender age of four is, "Get out of bed. I need your assistance. You need to come with me. We're going to go and deliver a baby."
Oh my goodness.
And so I remember jumping out of bed And the next thing I know, I'm holding my mom's hands and we are dodging our shadows in these dirt roads and walking to the neighbors. My recollection of that baby being born is that I was in the kitchen waiting for my mom. My mom brought the baby, and she said to me, "Hold the baby and tell me what the baby says to you."
Oh, my.
And at that moment, I did not hear the physical spoken language, but I started to see patterns of light within not only the physical body, but outside of the physical body. And it is through the light and the vibration of the light that I can understand what I'm being told. And so that was something that was so special that my mom understood, and of course I did not understand, but that was the beginning.
Oh my goodness. Grandmother Flora de Mayo, that is so beautiful and so profound for your mother to have brought you to that beautiful birth and to see that new life and to help us all. Boy, don't we all, we all have this potential ability. But in our Western world in particular, it has been trained out of us. And it is so necessary, I believe, for us to regain those skills. What do you think? It must be so challenging for you to see the imbalance that is so prevalent in our world today.
It's very painful, absolutely very painful. You know, it takes me into a place of where I'm beyond the tears, I'm beyond the crying. It's all, I am just beyond that. My words are encouraging people that we need to move as quickly as the light, move into the light, and just keep on moving. The only thing that we have right now is our prayers and our dedication and our passion to the prayer and to try to resolve things through prayer, because as the holy beings say to me, it's not about one person. In other words, it's not about you, just you doing something, but encouraging others to join you in the prayer.
Yes.
And for the masses to move into the light. We can't just stand still.
Yes. And what I think is so beautiful, as you were, you graced us with the blessing that you spoke at the beginning of our conversation, is you have such a more deeply meaningful form of prayer. In so many religions that are very patriarchal religions, they're rote prayers. And people don't always know how to have their heart in what they're asking for. And as you pray, as you prayed, I could feel the heart of what you were saying. And I think we need to learn our own language so much better than we know it, so that we can begin to understand that our words carry light within them.
They carry vibration and light.
Yes.
And this is how we make the change.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts right through the darkness.
So, Grandmother, could you explain for those, now people will have the opportunity all over the world to listen to this conversation, how would you explain to someone who has really no understanding of what we're talking about, the language of light, how would you explain to someone what their actions and thoughts do to the unseen part of our world that affects us so intimately, even within our cells of our being, because everything is light? How would you explain that, if you don't mind?
Well, before we are born, we are particles of light. In other words, we are light before we come into the physical body.
Yes.
at the time of conception, there is an attraction, a DNA light attraction from our mother and fathers, our grandmothers and grandfathers. And so we have this coded DNA light body that is infused into a physical body that is going to be constructed at the time of conception. Mm-hmm. This beautiful, beautiful light cluster continues to travel to the heavens and back within those 9 months and goes back into the different worlds and brings back information to form this individual light body. And depending on who we are and where we come from, we receive all of this information of everything that is made of light. Everything that is organic is made of light. And so there are some of us that are born with this fascination of something that is out there in the invisible.
Yes.
And I'll give you an example.
Please.
Like dragons, mm-hmm. like fairies, like these things that are not quite out there in the physical realm, but exist. And we, as children of the light, travel through these doors of dimension constantly. So what happens when this tiny little body of light is being formed is that they are also gathering these particles of light, and these babies are born with this memory of knowing that there are little fairies, this memory of knowing that there are dragons in our backyards, in our house, there are guardians, there are friends. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but all that exists outside, as far as we can imagine and as far as we could see with our physical eyes out there in the stars. And so we receive all of these different particles of light, and when we become little physical children that we are starting to walk and talk and express, we have these huge, huge memories.
Yes.
And the thing is that we as parents and grandparents have an obligation to our little babies to say to them, baby, what are you thinking? What do you see? Mm-hmm. What is around you? And babies try to express themselves in a way that we have to learn.
That's right. We have to thank you for sharing that, because I certainly have had such beautiful experiences with my own children and now my 6 grandchildren that just bring so much joy into the world because their innocence and their clarity of mind of what is really important. We really need to listen to as adults. We have sometimes the arrogant belief that because we're chronologically older that we somehow know more, but we don't. We certainly don't. And grandmother, I thank you for, again, sharing about the four directions and the beautiful way that we all begin our life. And as human species, as human beings, we all begin life the same way in the ocean of the amniotic fluid, guided by the sound of our mother's heartbeat. And no matter our color or where we come from, we all begin life in the same way. And how would you say, grandmother, that we can begin to remember that commonality of ourselves so that we stop seeing one another as separate and as a threat?
The best way to think about that is the light. the light, that we are first children of the light. And light has I'm trying to think of the word here in English, has no barriers.
Mm. Right.
The light is unconditional.
True.
It is the mind that separates us. I have to be very honest with everybody. It wasn't only about maybe 2 years ago, and here I am, you know, almost 70, that I heard about being an immigrant, meaning I never thought about it, but there was like so much commotion and so much language and so much language of separation. I'm Central American. I live, was born in the center of the Americas. We say we are in the heart of the Americas. We are children of South America, Central America, and children of the North America. We are Amerindians. And I heard the word when I went to speak to some young children at the university. And for a moment, I said to one of the young men, I said, what is your definition of immigrant? What does that mean? And he looked at me and he gave me his definition. And I said to him, so I am considered an immigrant of this country. And he said to me, yes. And I was so surprised because I've never thought of myself being separate like yes. that.
Oh my gosh.
I was shocked. And I embraced it. And wherever I go, I now say, I am an immigrant to this country. This is the language that people are bringing out into humanity right now.
Oh, and it is so intended to separate us. But when we really recognize we all immigrate from the light into
exactly.
a physical body.
Exactly.
We are all immigrants, are we not? We all come
yes.
from someplace magical
yeah.
that we don't really understand what it is, but somehow creation, mother life brings us here. And we're all immigrants from this amazing, beautiful soup of biology that Mother Earth has within her own body, every chemical and every mineral that's within our body. So we are born of the earth if we only would look at it that way.
we have to change the language.
Yes.
We have to go back to the old ways of speaking. We have to learn the language. We have to embrace ourselves as being humans of the earth, as one nation of humans, not a nation of separation.
Right.
But the only way that we're going to become together as one human race is by embracing each other. Because, and here's the big because when you look at someone, when you have the gift to see, what you see is the light body. I do not see the physicalness of a person when I am allowed and given permission to look at their light body. They are not who they think they are as a human.
Mm.
We are something else.
Grandmother, we have 1 minute before we have to take a break. And with your permission, I'd love to, in the second half of the hour, to talk about that gift that you have that is so beautiful and so precious that we all need to learn to see through the eyes of spirit so that we can, instead of judging and making false assertions about one another, we can ask creation to bring that light flame into greater brightness, if I can say it that way. Because when we see what we perceive as darkness is often what we feel about ourselves. And when we feel badly about ourselves, it's so easy to feel badly about everything else. And that's where I believe we have to change. And with your permission, we'll continue that part of the conversation. Please stay with me. My guest today is Grandmother Flora DeMille. We're just going to take a real quick break, and we will be right back to continue our conversation. Thank you so much.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul. Calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things. And it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Did you know that 7 in 10 girls believe they are not good enough or don't measure up in some way? I'm Amy Poehler. You may know me from film and television, but I'm also involved off-screen, encouraging young girls to be proud of who they are. Body image breakdowns and the pressure to be perfect often causes a girl's self-esteem to plummet. But by being positive role models, we can change that. The number one wish among girls is for their parents to communicate better with them, including more frequent and more open conversations. So get involved and start talking. Begin a conversation with a girl in your life about the importance of self-esteem. Tell her why she is beautiful and set an example by avoiding negative self-talk. You can make a difference in the lives of girls, and that is no laughing matter.
This message was brought to you by American Women in Radio and Television and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Self-Esteem Fund, working together to raise self-esteem in girls everywhere. To learn more, go to campaignforrealbeauty.com. Thank you for making a difference.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Now back to Elaine Groman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is Elaine Groman. And my guest today is Grandmother Flora DeMille, who is a world traveler, an incredible teacher and seer of the divine light that is within us all. Welcome back to the show, Grandmother.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you.
Thank you. And at the first part of the hour, you were just beautifully sharing how you see individuals when you see them. You see their light. Can you explain to us what that appears like to you and how that, what does that provide information-wise to you about what you're seeing?
Well, the question that you're asking is very lengthy and very complicated.
Yes.
But I'm going to answer it like this. In almost 70 years of my life, I have had the privilege, the opportunity, the blessing of knowing people in my close family, dear friends that I've had throughout my life, and I have seen them young, middle-aged, and become elderly. I have seen them cross over into spirit, and I have seen them after they have gone into spirit world. And that is how I've learned to really, really understand that we are not who we think we are, and that we as humans don't have the capacity to see who are the angels within a physical body, the masters of the light that live in these physical bodies. But when we live in our physical bodies, we are doing absolutely 99% of the time physical things. Yes. And I have been very observant throughout my life and watched very, very closely. And this is to learn how it is that we go from being in this dimensional body, this physical body, and we go back into the light. Prior to being born, we go through this process of learning in this physical life, and then we go into the spirit world again. And so I have made it my business to be observant and to listen, and always, always asking for permission. And so where sometimes there might be, let's say, persons that are always, always in this place of prayer. They live this monastic life. But yet, at the same time, they have little moments of not being what they're practicing. And yet, I have known people that have lived very much in this mundane world of every day, and yet I have seen them have these huge moments of going into the light. So we can't, above all things, you know, point the finger at someone and say, oh, you know, this person is this, this person is that. In other words, reframing ourselves first from judging anybody, because we do not know the light that this person carries.
Yes.
We just don't know until that whole process of death and going through that whole process of returning into the light. We don't understand it until we could witness that. I'm not saying that I'm not a human being. I'm not saying that I don't get cranky. I'm not saying that I don't get passionate about what I'm saying. I'm not saying that my voice doesn't get squeaky and boisterous. I'm not saying any of that. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that I have had glimpses of this and that I am trying very, very hard as a human to honor these things. These are some of the things that we need to remind ourselves.
Yes. Grandmother, you mentioned we have to learn, or we have the opportunity to learn, the old ways of speaking. And in the few Native Americans that I do know, I feel grateful to know, I recognize such a beautiful elegance and poetry and clarity within the language. And with deep appreciation, instead of just throwing words around that are meaningless. Is this what you mean by old ways of speaking, or do you have another way of explaining that?
The old way of speaking is the language of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is expressing yourself from that source that is you. When we come into this world, we learn whatever language that in that place where we are born, the speaking language. But the language of the silence and the language is that language of the heart, and we have to rediscover what the heart is telling us.
As you mentioned, we have an opportunity to learn or remember how to embrace one another. And as you just said, I think that what we really have forgotten is we always must begin within ourselves, because that is where the original challenge is in our own thinking or in our own beliefs that may not be as loving as they ought to be, may not be as clear as they ought to be. And so it's not necessarily, I don't think that we have to be self-recriminating, but more self-aware. And when we become self-aware and have that honesty, then we can begin to change for the better. Would you agree?
I would agree with what you said, Elaine. We're constantly learning, constantly, every day, every moment we're learning. The thing about it is catching ourselves and saying, ooh, gee, gosh, I shouldn't have said that. Ooh,
yes.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I didn't mean that. I don't know why I said that. Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm. That's where it all begins, within ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah. It's constantly ourselves.
Yes. Grandmother, may I ask you, what do you see as the role of women in this period of time right now?
Well, we have been going through a huge period of darkness.
Yes.
What that means is that, we have been put in a place of being the ones that have been carrying the heavy loads. And what I meant by saying that it was prophesied, I'm speaking about my ancestors. In the year of 1221, month and year, the calendar went back to zero and it started the count all over again. And it was at that moment in the Mayan calendar that was prophesied that it is the time for the women. And we are seeing right now where we are liberating ourselves and accepting ourselves for the seed carriers of the future generations.
Yes.
We are the birthers of life.
Mm-hmm.
We have been forgotten. And we are now embracing ourselves in that power.
And
the
you mentioned
feminine body is an incredibly powerful body. To be able to have that vessel to carry a new life and to bring light forth, as my mother would say, we give birth to the light. That in itself is an incredible, incredible journey. And of course, we can't do it without the men.
Right. Absolutely.
So we must send our love and prayers to all the men, all of our children, all of our grandchildren, and our husbands, grandfathers around the globe, because we can't do it without them.
That's right. We all need to work together.
Yeah.
Grandmother,
May I say one more thing?
Yes, please.
Elaine?
Yes,
because
please.
At the end of everything, when we see ourselves as children of the light, we are androgynous beings. We do not have the genitalia for us to make that difference between male and female. When we see those forms of light, they do not have genitalia. A cosmic child does not have genitalia. It is only through the physical that we have that.
That's true.
Whenever I say, and I said, my beloved mother, there is this feminine form that speaks to me, and I say feminine because her voice is sweet. Her fragrance is sweet. It reminds me of my mother when I was a kid. Mm. I remember when I held and I embraced my mother and she embraced me as being the baby of 15 babies. And also, she took the time to breastfeed me until I was 4 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was always being cradled by my mother. One time when I was, you know, pretty old, whatever that was, 10, 12, 13 years old, I said, Mom, you know, why did you breastfeed me until I was 4? And she said to me, she said, because the breast milk is very, very good to give the children a fighting chance of survival.
So true.
And, you know, it wasn't like we had an abundance of money. You know, we were surviving on a daily basis just to eat.
Mm-hmm. And we take for granted the incredible design of that creation Mother Life gave us, that this incredible milk, human
yeah.
milk, has the capacity
yeah.
to create a body.
Absolutely.
Create emotions, create thoughts, or the capacity to have emotions and thoughts and
mm-hmm.
interact and move and giggle and cry and all of the things that we do. How is that? It's so, how can we not be amazed by that beauty?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Grandmother, may I ask you about the work that you do as a seed keeper? I think that's so important for us to know. And your beautiful, organization that you have called The Path that preserves our seeds for our future.
Well, I'm going to have to rephrase it a little bit better.
Please.
Okay?
Please do so.
It is not me that is the seed keeper. We have people that have spent many, many decades specifically doing that. What my role has been in the past 15, 20 years is to pray for the seeds, with the seeds. I'm not a farmer. and I'm not a seed keeper per se. I have an altar where I pray for the seeds. And some time ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, I received, it was like being part of a physical manifestation. We were together around the time of harvest, my colleague and I, Emiglio Bayonne, and we were praying as he was collecting the corn, and he brought and placed an ear of corn, and we built a little pedestal on the earth with dirt, and we placed the ear of corn there. And him and I started praying, and we were blessing it with smoke, and he was blessing it with tobacco. And before we knew, this ear of corn became animated. In other words, it started moving as it was being animated by some force. And of course, I understand that it is that force of the prayer, the vibration of the prayer, the sincerity of the prayer, the prayer of saying to the seeds, "We'll take care of you through the next, over the winter, until you're going to be planted in the next cycle." The ear of corn started to become, to look like a human.
My goodness.
It opened up like it had little arms. It showed, it exposed the little tiny little kernels. And the little kernels developed like little eyes. And they had like little mouths. And they were wiggling and making little noise. And they became like living, breathing little children. This physical ear of corn, I walked with this ear of corn throughout the world, and I brought the story of what happened with this ear of corn. But I later received a vision where I saw myself sitting in a rocking chair, and as I sat in a rocking chair, the voice, that voice that I say, the beloved mother, said to me, "Flor de Mayo, I want you to make little bundles of seeds for the future generations. I want you to remind the parents of the human children that the seeds are also children." And it was through that vision that I started putting the word out that I was going to build a seed temple to protect seeds. I did not know how that was going to happen. I did not know how that was going to go about. All I know was that I received a mandate from the beloved mother. And so I put the word out in the four directions. And I said, "I am going to fundraise. I'm going to build a house. I'm going to look for seed keepers. I'm going to look for seeds. And I invite you to come and speak to me." And I did that. And of course, prior to that, I received other visions. And so it kind of all came together. Within the Mayan calendar, one of my signs is the seed. And so there was this always interest on my part, especially knowing as a child that we grew our own food. And of course, you know, my little plot of growing was just something very, very tiny. I was not out there in the field growing lots and lots of food. In Central America, we have four growing seasons, which means that everything is just constantly growing.
Yes.
And so we have fresh everything, morning, noon, and night. So I was always aware of this, and my mom's seeds was just a teeny weeny little container in her kitchen that, you know, she constantly kept planting. So I'm not like growing acres and acres of plants to save seeds. I'm not doing any of that. The seed keepers are in the four directions. What has happened is that we have one master grower, seed keeper, that comes and takes care of the seeds that are in the seed vault, which I call the seed temple, because I go in there and I pray. Mm. And I have an altar and I keep the altar.
Is there a place where people can learn about the work that you're doing with the seeds, and maybe
they can go and look into the organization is called The Path, and I believe that, you know, there's information on followthegoldenpath.org.
Thank you. Yes, I'm looking at that. I wanted to make sure I had your permission to share that.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things that we can do that really, I believe, help us to begin to embrace the incredible array and unlimited abundance that creation has provided for us. And when we begin to see that it is so beyond anything that any human could ever conceive of, let alone do, that we should be humbled by this gift of life and not waste it with the things that we see every day around us. And when we do see the light around someone, or even if you cannot see the light, but you have a knowing that of someone's sorrow, to pray for that light to come forward more, to fan the flame of the beauty that's within them. And it doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes your attention for a moment to something kind, to help another human being, so that this earth is a better place. Because, well, the earth is a great place. It's the ones on the earth that need to be better. Oh, my goodness. I'm speechless listening to you. I'm so incredibly grateful.
We have to change in the way that the mind thinks.
Yes.
And we have to go back to absolute simplicity and embracing only those words that would give us enough power to move on into the future. And this is how we become those warriors of the light.
Yes.
I often think of how we have our dialogue. And are we in that place of truthfulness of who we really are? And do we know exactly what it is that we are saying? I'd rather be in silence than to say something that I have no idea what I'm saying.
Boy, that's a powerful thing, to say nothing when you know nothing, instead of pretending that we do, when we really only add to confusion or injury or harm or hurt. It's so much better to just be quiet. So, Grandmother, we only have a minute left, and oh my goodness, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do and your beautiful eloquence and all that you have done and all that you continue to do to help wake us up to the beauty of being a human being and what that gift really means. Thank you for your time today. Is there any way that people can get in touch with you, or would you prefer that they go through followthegoldenpath.org or to learn more about all the work that you're doing all over the world?
Well, let me take the opportunity,
please,
and say that I've been guided by the Holy Ones, the Invisible Beings, the Star Nation, to bring humanity together. And we are working right now in doing a gathering, and it is called Gathering for Humanity. We're being called to come together, to bring our hearts together, all nations of people, to pray together, to bring healing. That's the most important thing, to bring healing to ourselves, our family, our community, and all nations around the globe. We're going to have the meeting here in New Mexico at place in Galisteo, New Mexico, called the G Center. It's happening in May, and the word is out. If you want to find out more about it, you can, you know, Google Flor de Mayo, you can Google Gathering for Humanity. You can Google Chi Center. And that is the best way.
Thank you, Grandmother. Thank you so very much for your time today. I hope millions of people listen to you speak. I'm grateful for your time, and I hope to meet you in person someday. Bless you for all that you do.
I'm going to do a closing,
please,
lullaby.
Yes,
this
please.
Is the humming that my mom gifted me when I was a child. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Loving ourselves is what it is.
Mm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Grandmother, and have a beautiful day.
You too.